1 week ago, U.S. officials announced the capture of former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein. There were very few American casualties this past week, though officials warn that the threat of more attacks by insurgents remains, and attacks against Iraqi police have intensified. This weekend, a former member of Saddam's Ba'ath Party was assassinated, and another was injured in what are believed to be revenge killings. And attacks on oil storage tanks in southern Baghdad and a pipeline north of the capital have burned millions of gallons of fuel. NPR's Julie McCarthy joins us from Baghdad. Hello, Julie.
Hi, Leanne.
What is the extent of the attacks on Iraq's oil infrastructure, and what do you know about who's behind them?
Well, Iraq's oil ministry spokesman told us that there have been three separate attacks on the country's oil supply. First, an oil storage facility south of Baghdad was struck overnight Friday. And there, 2 million of car gasoline went up in smoke. An explosion struck the oil pipeline that connects the midsection of the country with the north. And thirdly, a pipeline that runs from the south to Baghdad was also hit by what he described as a missile. And the damage to all this is still being assessed. But the U.S. occupation forces have blamed this chronic gas shortages here on this kind of sabotage. And these attacks, which occurred over a number of days, undoubtedly will aggravate the already long lines at the pump that are fraying Iraqi tempers and deepening anger at the U.S. occupation. The oil ministry calls the saboteurs supporters of the past regime. But you know, Leanne, these people operate in the shadows. They don't have a public face. And so this is just one more sign that life after the capture of Saddam Hussein looks a lot like before.
Well, what about the effect on security, though, overall in Iraq since Saddam's capture?
Yeah, it turned out to be a very bloody and violent week for the Iraqis. You know, police stations were targeted in several places by suicide bombers in one city about 30 minutes north of here. A police force was devastated by a suicide bombing. It took out 8 of their officers. Opponents of the U.S. occupation this week also fought running street battles with U.S. troops in a whole series of cities in Ramadi and in Fallujah, Mosul, Tikrit, and in Samarra. I traveled to Samarra this weekend, and it's as close to an ongoing war as I have seen in Iraq. The city is in the grip of this debilitating poverty. It bristles with U.S. military troops and tanks and choppers overhead. And the level of animosity against the occupation runs very, very deep there. People are afraid to talk to foreigners for being called spies. Locals say it's become a breeding ground for the resistance, which can't provide much comfort to the U.S. forces there. People in that area called the Sunni Triangle express support for Saddam, but only because they think the U.S. occupation is worse.
Has the U.S. military learned anything more about the anti-American insurgency in the past week since Saddam was taken into custody?
Well, what Saddam Hussein is telling his captors is held extremely closely, as you can imagine. He's in Iraq being interrogated by the CIA and other intelligence officials. Major raids that were conducted in Samarra several days after his capture might suggest a connection, but that's purely speculation to say he provided that information. A man described as a rotund confidant who had been part of Saddam's special security organization reportedly brought U.S. troops to Saddam after his capture Friday night. So it was a week of intrigue and some watershed moments.
NPR's Julie McCarthy. Thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you, Leanne.